Welcome to A Flame in the Chaos, where we talk about our real life chaos and how the flame of God never goes out. He is our light in the darkness and the calm in our chaos. And man, am I so thankful for that, because Lindsay will always bring the chaos, and thank God the Holy Spirit always brings the flame. Hey y'all, so there is a chapter in Numbers that I could read 100 times and truly get something new out of it every single time that I read it. And it's chapter 16. And there are some key people in this chapter that we can likely relate to or will be able to relate to. We can really relate to all of them in some point of our life, maybe not right now, but maybe in the future or in the past. You can kind of see yourself in all of them. So those people are Korah, Dathan, Abiram, On, Aaron, and Moses. So Moses is well known. You know, he is selected by God to deliver the people from Egypt to the promised land. He speaks directly to God. He leads the people. He communicates God's word to the people. And then we have Aaron. Aaron is Moses' brother and right-hand man. He is also the first high priest of Israel. Korah is a Levite. He is of a chosen tribe to serve in the tabernacle. They pick it up, they take it down, they carry it with all of its furnishings, and this includes the Ark of the Covenant. So obviously he is a leader. He's the direct son of Levi himself, and I mean, he has some history in the people. He's well known with the people. Dathan and Abiram, they're brothers, and they're the son of Eliab from the tribe of Reuben. On is the son of Peleth, and he is also from the tribe of Reuben. So I am just going to long story short this. I'm not going to read every single thing, but I do encourage you to go read it. But long story short, Korah leads a rebellion against Moses. So paraphrasing this, of course, he is like, Moses, who are you and Aaron to make yourself the leaders? This is Korah. Korah's like, you shouldn't be the leaders, because who are you? And so Moses just wanted to lead the people out of Egypt, and he just wants to kill us in the wilderness. Like, these are all things that he is saying to people and like accusing them of. So Moses and Aaron, when they hear these accusations, they fall on their face. So they immediately go to prayer. They're not like talking back. They're not trying to build themselves up. They immediately fall on their face in prayer. So Moses tells Korah and his followers, come and appear before God the next morning, get your censers of incense, and God's going to choose who should lead Israel. So Moses summoned also Dathan and Abiram to come out of their tents, and they were like, we're not coming. We're not coming out of there, but they're still talking smack. So now Korah's in person. He's doing this in person. The other two are in their house. And so Moses is like, come on out here and say it to my face, basically. And they're like, no, we're not coming. But they're still talking smack. Like, who are you? You shouldn't be this. But they're talking smack from the comfort of their house. So they have a plan. Korah is like stirring up the community against Moses in the meantime. And they all show up with their incense burners and with their fire and incense in it. There's Korah and his 250 followers there. So the presence of God like appears to everybody all of a sudden, and he's so upset, like he's ready to destroy them all, like instantly. And guess what? Moses and Aaron again fall on their face and start praying. Like, that is so awesome of them. Instead of being like, yeah, God, you see what they're doing. Like, you destroy them. I'm here. I'm here for it. No, they fall on their face and they start praying. And so God's like, okay, you know what? Tell them to get away from the tents of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Now, even though Dathan and Abiram, they didn't want to come out, he's like, tell everybody to get away from their tents. So Moses goes and he clears everybody away from them. So now Dathan and Abiram, they think something's going to happen. So they come out, their whole family, their wives, their kids, the little ones. And he's like, you know what? This is going to be the sign. If God did not send me to lead these people, all these people are going to die just a natural death. Like, nothing major is going to happen. There will be no change. But if God did send me, the ground is going to open up and swallow them, their family, and all of their things. Well, about the time he got that out of his mouth, guess what happened? The ground opened up and it swallowed those three households completely. Them, it closed up over them. So now there's like some panic. So people are like running away. A fire then blazed from the Lord and burned up the 250 men that were supporters, and they were offering incense, right? So they were completely burned up. So now the ground has opened up and swallowed three full households, everything in it, and they have burned up. So Eleazar, who was the son of Aaron, the priest, he was instructed basically, go get the 250 incense burners from the supporters. And he was basically told, go and build a memorial on the altar so that the people will remember what happened when Korah and his followers tried to rise up. So he does this. Okay, right? So we think it's done. No, ma'am, it's not. The next morning, there was the community started muttering and mumbling like they always do against Moses and Aaron. They killed God's people. Now they're gathering in protest like, y'all, did these people never learn? Okay, but also, do we ever learn? Like, do we as people now ever learn? Okay, but back to our story. So they're gathering in protest and the Lord's presence appeared again. And now, y'all, God is hot. He is mad. He is angry. He is like, you ungrateful people. Like, did you not just see what happened yesterday? But more, he just told them, he was like, you know what? I'm just going to destroy all of them. I'm about to destroy all these people. And so a plague hit the people and it started to spread. So like these people were dying. So the crowd is like dying. It's like going through them. And so Moses tells Aaron, go get the incense burner and coals from the altar, put it in the incense burner and like place incense on it. This represented his prayers. Go make atonement for them. So Aaron runs out in the middle of the crowd and he's there like praying for these people in the middle of the crowd. And do you know what happened? He stood between the dead and the living. His prayers, his atonement for them stopped that plague. So 14,700 people died before he got between them. Okay, can you imagine being the next person in line right there? Like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? That feeling of, I probably should have been dead too, but God, okay, I see you. You know what I mean? Is that not such a powerful story? Like, I love that so much. And the Aaron was able to stand between the dead and the living because of his prayers. Like, man, this story, I could probably read it 100 times and get something different out of it anyway. So, what can we learn? Okay, so Korah, we can learn from Korah. Korah was already a leader. He was of a chosen tribe. He had a good little ministry going. He was not the high priest. He was not the prophet. But, I mean, he was a leader in his area. He had a high position. Now, he has a little title, and that's going to his head, and so he becomes envious. And sure, he could do it better. You know, it's really hard to see the true picture of a leader because God gives them such grace to handle their struggles. There were times where Moses prayed, like, God, just kill me. Like, just, it's too much. Like, I don't even want to do it. And he kept doing it. Moses prayed, God, I don't even want to do this. Find somebody else. But he was the person. And God allowed him to do that with grace. Now, not every decision Moses got to make, it was God. Moses just led. Sometimes we look at our pastors and we think that it should be done this way. He should be handling it this way. Well, that all sounds like so easy coming from the inside. We don't understand the pressure that they have on them. And not only that, but they have to listen to God's voice, not people's voice, you know? So it's hard to see the true big picture. Well, you know, Korah thought he could do it better. But the grace of God makes things look easy when it's not, you know? So there was a crack in his foundation and that left room for jealousy and strife. And, you know, he had a need for power. He wanted to see his power grow. He wanted that title. And in these instances, he was like, probably should have been worried about his own job that he was doing. But instead he was worried about somebody else's. So I can imagine his job was probably slacking. Like he probably could have been being more effective in his job, but instead he's running around trying to gather a following, trying to turn people. And you know, he's worried about somebody else. So the power, the title, the position, like if they matter to you, if it's about, if it's that big of a deal to you, then you probably need to check your heart. That's probably what we can learn from Korah today. Dathan and Abiram, what can we learn from them? Well, I think I've been these two. I think I've been somebody, honestly, in the past that's maybe just ran my mouth, but I really wasn't about that life. I think that. So talking about them, like they were up for it. They entertained the talk. They amped Korah up. Yeah, we'll be a part of it. Yeah, we believe you. Let's go. You got this. And guess what? If Korah would have overcame Moses, they would have been right up there with him. Right up there with him. But because they were kind of iffy, little scaredy cats, they were willing to stay in their house. So when it was game time, they just weren't about that life. And so when Moses called them out, they wouldn't come, but they kept running their mouth. They were being backseat drivers, and that was the biggest thing. Their hearts were nasty. And so God saw that, and you know what? He destroyed them anyway. So sometimes, even though we're not the front and center person, even though we're not the one really speaking up in person about the drama, it doesn't matter. If you are naysaying behind somebody's back in your own household, if you are stirring up rumors, stirring up trouble, encouraging rebellion, it's no better than actually being in the forefront. Like you might as well just come on out with it to everybody because God sees everything. He destroyed these two men for what they did in their own homes, okay? He sees everything. He sees the hearts. This is interesting to me. It talks about him only in the beginning. It tells us that On was the son of Peleth, who was also from the tribe of Reuben. And so he was initially in this, but we don't see where he was killed. We don't see where he was mentioned again in the rebellion. Moses doesn't call him out. God doesn't call him out. He might have been in the 250 that were burned up, but it almost seems to me, this is Lindsay talking, that he might have had a change of heart. So God knows our hearts, just like he knew the other two's hearts from talking in their house. They weren't talking about it right there in the presence of God in front of Moses and in front of the tabernacle. They were talking about it in their own homes. Well, they're could have been a change in On and in his heart to where God saw that and he just decided to keep his mouth shut. If he was guilty, he would have been called out too. Now, some people say in the Jewish community, in some of their like books that they have and stuff, that his wife caused him to change his ways and Dathan and Abiram's wife egged them on. But like that's not in this story. So that's just something, you know, historically that is said about him. But we just don't know. So in this instant, we'll say that his spiritual eyes were likely open to the truth. So he reminds us that we really need to pray about situations. Sometimes we can get drug into something and feel like it's the right thing because we've not gone to God and prayed about it. But once we truly listen while we're praying and we allow God to speak to us, we realize, you know what, God, that is not the right answer. That truly is not the right answer. Now, Moses and Aaron, what can we learn from them? Under every single attack that they had, they remained faithful to God and they chose prayer first. They didn't run their mouth back first. They didn't try to amp their self up. They didn't like throw it. They fell on their face in prayer, not only for themselves, but God, for these people. You know what I mean? Like they, even when they were attacked, they listened to God first. Their characters were attacked. That's hard. It's hard when your character is attacked, okay? Like I don't necessarily always have the grace. My character was attacked recently, and while I did pray about the situation, I don't think I initially prayed and allowed enough time because I still got a little fiery about it. Now, I could have prayed, taken a little 24 hours, and allowed God to listen. I mean, allowed myself to listen to God more about some deeper things. But it's not easy when your character is attacked, okay? So usually you get angry, and that anger comes from not being able to make people see the truth. That right there gets to me like more than anything. When I know the truth and I want you to see the truth and you see it a different way, like I can't understand that. And so sometimes that'll get me a little fiery. But it can lead to rage and then acting out in our flesh. So Moses and Aaron did not do that. To stop the plague through a poisonous people, Aaron ran into the crowd to stand between them to ask for their forgiveness. And it stopped. Moses and Aaron were leaders that always cared about the people and God's glory and reputation over their own selves. Like in this situation, they always put God first. They cared about the people more than themselves. And that says so much. Now, what can we learn about the crowd that followed? So the crowd that followed Korah, they all done got burned up. They all done got burned up, okay? Sometimes we can follow noise because it has the right beat to it. I remember being at the parades, and there was a marching band, and they were like the best marching band. They'd stop, they'd break it down and dance. Like, it was the best thing. And people would walk behind them and follow them, but they would miss the rest of the parade. I wanted to see the whole parade. But we can walk behind something when it sounds right. But just because it sounds right doesn't mean that we need to pick up and follow it. We need to seek God for truth first. And this is how we spiritually die. We have to seek God. We have to find out where and when He has called us to certain situations. If He has not called us there, we don't need to go. If somebody is trying to say something that is not line up with the Word of God or with your spiritual leader, you really need to pray and seek God about that before you just pick up and follow. What else can we learn from the community the day after? The day after, okay? Lord, that community the day after. I just cannot, okay? Like, did you not just see that ground open up and swallow those three whole households and those people burned? Like, I would be so terrified. I say that. I feel like I would be so terrified that I would be like, I am not talking about nobody. I'm gonna just eat this manna and just be quiet. Like, I'm not gonna say a word, okay? But you know what? They didn't learn, and they wanted to blame man. They wanted to find something for their fear and their anxiety to go, so they looked for somebody to blame. They completely overlooked the actual problem. So again, sometimes before we open our mouth, we have to really look and pray over the situation. Here, the situation was that men acted wrong. Now, out of hurt and anger, they wanted to blame somebody. Sometimes we try to put blame on somebody else, and we act out in hurt and in anger and in rage against somebody else, and it's the wrong person, where we should have just closed our mouth, taken it in our own household, and allowed God to work and really prayed about, okay, God, why did this happen? What is this for? You know what I mean? You can't just rise up against any and everybody because you're mad. Sometimes you have to deal with that. God has to uproot that seed in you. Like, He's got to take that out of you. You can't just be talking about anybody or put your mouth on everybody. So, you know what the biggest thing though? Aaron standing in the mix to stop the plague. Are you standing in the mist for somebody? Like, and who has stood or who is standing in the mist for you? Like, though, that just gets me, man. That just speaks to my spirit. Something serious. I love it so much. This is my favorite. So, who is standing on your behalf to keep you from death? Are you praying for somebody? Who are you covering? You actually may see somebody going down the wrong road. Instead of talking about them and putting your mouth on them, how about standing in the gap between them? How about praying for them in the midst? Because you could be stopping their spiritual death from happening. You could be stopping something from getting to them. I know. Let's just stand in the gap. Let's start to make that a habit instead of putting our mouth on people and like trying to rise up and trying to displace our anger and our rage and our anxiety. Let's try to stand in the gap more often. And I'm so thankful that when I was in the crowd, when I was one of those crowds people, that I was not one killed by the plague, but that I was one that was saved by somebody standing in my gap, right? That is such a big thing. So, in this story of Numbers that I love so very much, I do want you or encourage you all to go back and really read it. How can you identify which one of these people or peoples are you grouped in right now in your life? You know, do you find something alike with any of those groups? Because if it's not with Moses and Aaron, probably need to be adjusting that and seeing, okay, God, like, what can I do to get out of this? I don't want to live like this anymore. And really thank that person who stood in the gap for you. And then make sure you are standing in the gap for somebody else. That's the biggest thing. Hey, I encourage you all. I love this story, and I hope that it speaks to you the same way that it speaks to me. There was a rebellion, but what can we learn from it today?